is to show solidarity with First Nations children in Canada and to demand for equity for First Nations children so that each and every child in Canada is treated fairly and can grow up happy. Nous sommes ici afin de marquer notre solidarité avec les enfants autochtones qui font face à la discrimination auprès du gouvernement canadien depuis beaucoup trop longtemps.
Bonjour, nous sommes peut-être jeunes, mais nous sommes capables de reconnaître l'injustice. Pour nous, que tous les enfants canadiens n'ont pas les mêmes droits, c'est vraiment difficile à comprendre. Notre Canada inclut les réserves.
These children wrote one of the most powerful books I've ever seen about how to make this a better country, and it's called Children's Voices Have Power. And they titled it, and they wrote it. And they are here to read some of the pages from that book to you. And I hope these words echo in the minds of all Canadians, because it is truly about standing on guard for the values that define this country the most and make us a better nation.
If there was a word stronger than magic, I would have used it today. A lot of people talk about what reconciliation looks like. Today, we saw it in action. In the hands of children of every cultural group, every spiritual belief, standing on the feet of Parliament and saying that the Canada they believe in is one where no child is left behind. It's where no child has to grow up and not feel proud of who they are or have their rights respected. And I was so blown away by the intelligent conversations these children were having. I was thinking to myself, I wish they were in Parliament during question period. Wouldn't it be a better country if this is the type of debate that we were having? And they spoke right from a place of values. Children know love and fairness in a way that adults really need to remember. And because they are experts in love and fairness, they see when things are going wrong, and they want to be a part of putting things right. And they weren't standing there in sadness. They were excited about taking a moment to build a better Canada for everyone. This wasn't building a better Canada just for First Nations children. This was actually standing on guard for the values of the country that define us the most.
We brought with us over 200 signed letters that we will be mailing today. Together, we as youth have the power to change the world and make Canada into a better place. Miigwech.
We are standing here in a court to force the government of Canada to do what it should do as a part of moral courts. We are here having a legal case in 2012 trying to force the government to treat First Nations children and equitably in child welfare. I found it astounding that we are here. And many of the children that were in the court case yesterday said to me, isn't it obvious that they should be treating children properly? Why does this even need to happen? And I think the question they ask is the one that all Canadians should be asking as well.
It's Valentine's Day, and we're here to support all First Nations children.
I'm from Lestock, Saskatchewan, and we came out here to support the cause. I was out here last June when there was a hearing going on as well. And we believe in it so much that we came back again to support it again. And I believe that one voice, united across Canada, is going to cause the government to pay more closer attention. The children are our future, because they're going to be our future leaders. In this great country called Canada, one of the richest countries in the world.
When you look at the statistics across this country, when we're looking at the Aboriginal socioeconomic conditions, it's terrible, and we need to do something about it. Us in the union, we're doing our bit, and I say a bit because it's not everything. We got lots to do.
You know, we have something called the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It says that we're all treated equally under the law. Well, that's true, only if you can access the courts to ensure that your rights are respected.
I spent 2 years on Barrier Lake, and
when I think back to what I saw up there and witnessed up there, it was very hard. I felt by the end a lot of despair that there are a lot of programs that could have made a big difference. I had 10 students in my class. One of them died that year, and had there been better health care, she may not have died. Another girl was murdered a few years later, and her, you know, it was one of those horrible stories. And I know that their lives may have been better had they had proper services, and that causes me anguish.
We come all the way from Alberta First Nations to support the Caring Society's appeal on the human rights complaint.
The reason that I came out here to support Cindy and I guess this historical journey is because I am a grandmother, I am a mother, I did have a handicapped child who passed away, so I know that the services are not equal, and I really believe as First Nation children it is their right. First of all, we're the first people of the land, and it is their right that they have services equivalent to all their counterparts within Canada.
I like First Nations people because for Christmas I went there, and they really hold me to heart, and I really care about them, and I don't really like, it's like my family. I wouldn't like that my family would, that somebody would do that to my family.
If anyone wants to know what love for their country really is, they need only turn to those children who are there, who love their country enough to provide it with some guidance. That's what we do when we're parents and we love our children. We know sometimes that they're going to go off in different directions. And it's our job to call them back to the morals of what it is to be a good human being and to live in respectful ways. And that's what those children were doing. But in this case, with their own government.
And she was right.
I'm from Sydney, Australia. I work as an academic and with the Peak Indigenous Children's Organisation. There are a lot of parallel issues with abuse of very fundamental human rights of children, a lack of access to the basic services that all other children experience. And I was really, really interested to come and see how this is being contested in Canada, where you have a Human Rights Act, and where on top of that, you don't just have an act which can, the carpet can be pulled under when the government chooses to, but you've got constitutional recognition. And I've been very curious to see that a lot of the argument in court has been about a comparator and whether you can compare First Nations children to other children, when I imagined it would just be absolutely self-evident that if they get in less, there'd be a breach. So I'm really interested to see that operation and to see that this actually has to be argued in such a technical way.
Je voudrais que le Premier ministre Stephen Harper comprenne que qu'est-ce qu'il fait est vraiment injuste et que juste à cause que ils sont d'une autre culture ou ils parlent d'une différente langue, ça ne veut pas dire qu'on a besoin d'être traité différemment. Je voudrais qu'ils arrêtent de faire cela et je voudrais qu'ils les traitent comme ils nous traitent.
Parents agreed for the students to participate in this because this is a way for children to speak out about their beliefs. It's a way for them to show empathy. There's character a lot of character education in an event like this, where you show empathy, you show compassion, and you act, you do something. And it also gives a purpose for all these years of learning to read and write and speak and think critically to finally have a chance to say your piece in front of hundreds of people. It's pretty incredible.
Our dream is that other schools and other students get involved as well, because what we're doing is we're encouraging and supporting children when they stand up for other children, and that's our job as educators and parents, and they are the leaders here today, so I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
You know, some people stand and they watch what's happening on their televisions about Aboriginal people, and they wonder if the problem is too complex. How are they going to help? Well, we saw children on the foot of Parliament as young as 4 years old, and they weren't sure how to help, but they were going to do something that matters. And we had children there reading poems. We had children writing letters. We had children just knowing that it made a difference just to be there.
We had children asking questions. We had children reading documents. We had children talking to their teachers and to their classmates and their families about important questions about the country. That's how every Canadian can make a difference. And if you want to look for something more concrete, you can go onto our website, fncaringsociety.com, and you can find 7 things you can do to make this a better country and to help First Nations children that cost you not a penny and take under 2 minutes. If you can't do that, the next time you sing O Canada, you should skip past the lines that say, "We stand on guard for thee."
God, no one would know. So what were you thinking? How didn't you know? Little diamonds, diamonds in the snow.
We are going to make a book full of photographs and stories of how the children across Canada have made history by fighting for First Nation education. And you're going to be able to show your grandchildren someday, and you're going to say, "I was part of the great civil rights movement."
Been still with us, she would have graduated this year. And I have seen so many wonderful graduation ceremonies, and I have always thought of her, but one thing I am sure of. When she looks down at the children on Have a Heart Day, at the 4-year-olds who are going to be walking on the Our Dreams Matter 2 to their mailbox, or to each one of you who cared enough to come out tonight, that she will feel forever remembered and ever blessed that her memory is living on in the hearts and minds of caring Canadians who are going to take their caring into action and make a difference. Thank you very much for coming out.
Maybe we have just a few minutes for some questions, maybe about 10 minutes.
So we won the federal court case, and that was a, you know what's so wonderful about that, is I was in Toronto, where a group of children had worked all year to fundraise for equity for First Nations children. So they were literally standing up there, and they had done this humongous check, where they had written out the amount of money, including the bank transit money. And I had told them that I thought the decision would be coming down that morning, and my BlackBerry goes off. One of the things I didn't tell you about the tribunal chair that was appointed, in her ruling, she said she
overturn a judgment made by a tribunal. So they were scuttling around the Canada's bench for a while. And she said, is there another order from the tribunal? The Carex says, no. Is there an affidavit from the tribunal? The Carex says, no. So she, in her ruling, said that the hearing itself was unfair on that ground. And Canada is even appealing that. I don't know what they're going to look and say, is that every justice member should look at 8,000 extra pages as long as they're only favorable to the government of Canada. I don't know what they see. But they're also appealing on the comparator issue to the Federal Court of Appeal. The good news is that doesn't stop the tribunal from moving forward, necessarily. Canada will have to apply for a stay in those proceedings to stop the full evidentiary hearing. It's a bit of a gamble for us, because we could spend all the funds and all the effort and have that decision overturned by the Federal Court of Appeal. But we're willing to do it. The kids have waited long enough. We as adults can take a hit and suffer and go through the inconvenience, but I don't want the kids to have to wait. So we're going to run them simultaneously. Canada is going to have to apply to stay the proceedings of the tribunal, and as I say, they have very little chance of doing that. So it's very likely we'll have two proceedings happening at the same time. Their appeal actually might be good for children, because they're not likely to succeed, and that will give a higher court precedent for this precedent of equality. And what we are absolutely blessed with is not only is the Canadian Human Rights Commission, which is an entirely separate body from the tribunal, they have very similar names, so people have to give them names. They said they will take this all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada, if necessary. And so has our pro bono legal firm, Stike & Gallagher. So we have been so honored and blessed. I really feel it's been spiritually guided, because we've had groups like Stike & Elliott step in, and honestly, I think they've spent probably about $250,000 in legal fees. And when we signed up with them originally, they said, well, you're going to have to pay for disbursement. And one of their lawyers is from Toronto. And I was talking to Tammy in our office just the other day, because we're getting ready for our audit, which is happening today. And she says, you know, I think in all the years that Stikeman's has worked for us, all we've gotten is $700 in expenses from. So somehow it's just like it's a little angel in the accounting office is making another donation to the kids. So we can all feel very, very thankful to them. I have full confidence the children are going to win. And with those kinds of kids, I mean, I just cannot believe that somebody is going to have to open up their hearts there in Parliament and just do the right thing and go along with it. At some point, it's just going to get, hopefully, too embarrassing for them not to do it. Yeah, June 11th. So what is going to happen is it's really a children's led event. And I think it's really interesting to see it, because they really do take the lead on this. All we do is call the event Our Dreams Matter 2. And the kids have done the whole planning of the agenda. So this is what they've come up with. So the children who get it on ZB First Nation, which is the host First Nation here, they are going to travel all the way to Victoria Island. And not the chief, the children are going to welcome the other children to Victoria Island. And then an elder is going to make a commemoration, because of course it's the anniversary for the apology for residential schools. And from there, the kids are going to march all the way up Wellington Street. And as they're marching, thanks to Jack, they're going to have bubbles.
A lot of bubbles.
That in itself might be a little bit of a news story. And apparently we're going to have kids inside of bubbles too. And we're not too sure how that's all going to work out, but there will be kids inside of bubbles as well. And they will be walking up to Parliament Hill. Now, there's children from Lady Evelyn School who will be coming the other direction along the canal. And they will join up on Parliament Hill. And there we'll have a second welcome for the children that get it on ZB. But also Wes Prankert, who's one of my heroes, a 13-year-old non-Aboriginal boy from Niagara Falls, who upon hearing about the crises in Attawabiscan, does not send up a third-party manager. He raises $90,000 to build a playground for the kids in Attawabiscan. And he is now fundraising to build foster homes, to build the actual houses in communities where there's housing crisis, so the children in foster care don't have to leave their communities, they can grow up in their homes. And I think he's going to do it. It's a crazy thing, you know, for a 13-year-old. So he's going to come and he's going to do a little bit of a talk about what he does at northernstarfish.org, which is one of my favorite charities where I give a lot of my charitable donations to. And then the kids are going to read their letters. They've written letters to the Prime Minister. Some of them have written recipes for a better Canada. So those of you who are cooks, you can come on out.
That's amazing. And there's a couple of announcements we'll have just before we say thank you. But Renee from Citizens for Public Justice has an announcement of about a program that CPJ is doing.
Spread the message, because this is really a way to get the young generation involved in the issue and educate for the future.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
I have caught this video that I'll bring you apart. It broke my heart. It is a group of grade three kids teaching kindergarten kids about these campaigns.
All right.
And the children produced the whole video. So I don't know if it's just you or can it be younger?
One of our staff interns here, she's the
they're so cute.
Thank you, Renee. And, you know, check out the Kairos website all the time. There's great stuff. Do you have anything that you want to plug, Ed?
No, that's good. Dave.
That's good. And
maybe I'll just say one thing.
Sure. Thank you all for being here tonight. This is how we make a difference. And thank you so much, Cindy, for telling us the story of the children. And it really is the kids that are leading us. They're telling us what to do and how to do it and reminding us of who we're supposed to be. And that's powerful, because I think sometimes we older people, we get depressed about all of this stuff, right? Like, we've been beating our heads against a wall for a long time, and the kids come in with freshness and life and light, and they remind us of what it's all about. Thank you for bringing that story to us tonight. And Megwich, so thank you.